The dream language symbols. This page could expand into an entire dream symbol dictionary. For now, the first part of this page is for generally describing a few symbols and how and why they are interpreted as they are. Dreams most frequently speak in symbols. One thing represents something else. Establishing the meanings of symbols. Now and then I'll have someone challenge me as to the meaning of a symbol. It is important that you understand how symbols are established. I will give an example. A person asked me the meaning of a snake in a dream. I told them the snake represents something the dreamer is not aware of. So this person said, "What do you say to those who believe the snake is a healing spirit of the earth?" To which I answered, "I will tell them they are deceived." As with the bird, the type of snake is also important to the meaning of the dream message and subject. The size of the snake and type, poison or not, it all has a meaning. But no matter how you view the snake, whether as good or evil, it does not change the actual meaning of the snake in a dream. It will always represent something that is going on the dreamer is not aware of. The meaning of the snake as a symbol was established from the Garden of Eden, and it was established by God. Its meaning will not change no matter what the dreamer thinks of it. The sparrow may be seen as cute by many or all at any given moment in time, but the sparrow is still a sparrow, and by nature they carry parasites and they are nasty little birds. It makes no difference if you love them or hate them. The meaning of a sparrow in your dreams will be the same for you as it will be for me. It is a messenger with ill will, and it will do harm wherever it goes. Not by intentions, but by nature, you understand. In the Bible we read there were prophets of God and there were false prophets. Being a prophet and seer back then was big business, and anyone who had some idea how dreams were used to foretell events could be in big demand. Every king had a room full of them. Prophets of God, on the other hand, were rare and didn't get along with the false prophets. While the prophet of God was looking out of his prison window, the prophets of Baal were jeering and smiling because they loved to tell the king what the king wanted to hear. "You will be victorious in battle, my lord." To which the prophet of God called out, "You will see, he will be killed and the dogs will lick up his blood from his chariot." The big difference between the two is the prophet of God told it just like God had established it, while the false prophets told it how they saw it and preferred to see it. They told it how their king would want to believe it. Then when the king was killed, they just moved on. If the king wasn't killed but they were found out, they were put to death. Birds represent messengers. The type of bird seen in a dream is directly symbolic of the type of message and spirit that is delivering the message. "I dreamed I caught a nasty little sparrow last night as it was in flight. I grabbed it out of the air with my left hand, then moved it to my right hand. A man watching said, 'That's amazing.' And I said, 'I caught that nasty little sucker.' The sparrow, while small and sometimes kinda cute, is a nasty little messenger that means no good in the spirit world. It carries mites and bird parasites. It makes its home anywhere it can, bringing its troublesome little friends with it. You can read an example of the sparrow on examples page 8. A single sparrow can move into a martin house and all the martins will move out of that house. A sparrow will build upon another bird's nest and completely transform it into something unusable by any other bird. The spirit that is associated with the symbol does the very same thing to people. When it moves in, it does not like to share space with good spirits, therefore it must drive them away by any means necessary. This isn't done by intention, it is done by the nature of the spirit. The sparrow doesn't stop to think that its parasites will drive the good birds away from its nest. It just does what it does and the parasites do the rest. Vehicles, a car, motorcycle or personal-sized boat or even a small airplane can represent a person's body or their life. Generally, the dreamer will see things he's familiar with. A person who's never sat at the controls of an airplane will most likely not dream of flying an airplane. Ordinarily, people dream about things they have some experience with. The exceptions to this rule will include the possibility the dream is not a personal dream, but may be a viewpoint dream experienced or a night vision. Beasts of burden. Another very common dream symbol is the symbol of the horse. The horse is a multifaceted symbol. This means it has more than one meaning depending on what part of the horse you see. The general meaning of the horse as a symbol is power. From the very beginning, the horse has been a beast of burden used by people for various load-bearing tasks. Today we still use the term horsepower and give it meaning by saying things like 235 horsepower, that HP stands for horsepower. The horse's mouth is a term that makes reference to the fact that looking into the horse's mouth is to know the truth about the horse. A person buying a horse who knows anything about horses knows the approximate age and condition of the horse by looking at the horse's teeth. If they are badly worn, the horse is not young. If they are in good shape, odds are good the horse is younger. Then the people may haggle over a price. A person buying a horse who doesn't look into the horse's mouth is not a wise person and may overpay for the animal. The horse's back. Seeing the horse carrying something refers to the load-bearing message of the dream symbol. What does the horse carry? In the Bible we read of the four horses of the apocalypse. We also read they carry the four horsemen of the apocalypse. This is the load the horses carry. You will notice how the Bible names each of the riders according to their purpose. And the pale horse's rider is death. Now death is seated upon a pale horse. The meaning of the symbol is simple. Death rides a pale horse. Death is the intention and purpose, and the horse is the method by which death travels. The horse's rear end is frequently a message about someone. We use the term horse's ass for a reason. It means someone who's hard to deal with or someone who's being stupid. The horse's feet are also a symbol that have meaning, but usually the feet are mixed with other symbols and can have certain variations. The feet of the horse would generally refer to the ability to carry a message, just as the feet of the prophets were directly related to the ability to carry God's message to the people. My footprints on the internet are these pages which you read. This page represents one footprint. One morning I walked into the room and he greeted me by my name. I was somewhat shocked that I didn't have to explain to him who I was. We began to talk, and every now and then he would look over at the corner of the room. Finally he said, "You should get those men some chairs, they must be tired, they have been standing there all night long." I looked at the corner and then back at him and realized we were in the presence of angels. I told him not to worry, that those men would not get tired of standing there. Then before I left he said, "I know who they are angels and they have come to take me home." I told mom as I left the house for work that morning what was going on, and that day when I returned home they were taking him away in the ambulance. Grandpa died that very day. He saw two angels in his room and he knew who they were. You won't find Grandpa's ghost haunting that house because Grandpa isn't there anymore, he's in heaven with the angels. That's not all I have to say about angels, but I'll get to that later on. What about UFOs? In the 1970s at different times we had seen a strange white light moving around in the sky but had never been very close to it. One day while down on the river near the fish market I was talking to some of my friends around 11 p.m. that night when we saw a bright white light coming south down the river toward us. I watched for a while then realized it wasn't a light on a barge. If it had been, it would have been swinging from side to side, but this one wasn't flashing around at all. I asked one of my friends who lived there in a little house and he said, "Oh, that's just our UFO." Then he proceeded to tell me how it would come up over the railroad bridge, then turn and go up over the power lines over the mine. It would hover there from 5 to 10 minutes and then would cross southwest over town to the top of the next flat on the hill. Then it would go straight south until it was out of sight. We watched, and sure enough this thing came right up near us over the bridge, then turned and went up over the hill and power lines just as they had said it would. We jumped in my car and literally drove up a tractor path up a steep hill to get to it, and just as we cleared the trees the UFO moved off toward the southwest. Several times we were close enough to it to see that it was not an airplane or helicopter. We raced to the hilltop where we had seen it and couldn't find it anywhere. We drove along looking in all directions, and then suddenly one of the guys with me yelled, "There it is, behind us." I stopped the car and we all got out and watched. Sure enough we must have passed right past it or under it and had no seen it, and then suddenly there it was again in clear view. I'm not sure just how many days passed, but I was out roller skating with another friend and we were coming home sometime around 11 p.m. when we saw the bright light hovering over the power lines. I told my friend to pull over inside the town limits and we would watch it pass over the town. So he pulled over and we were standing in front of his car when it appeared the object was getting closer to us. I said, "Looks like it is getting larger," and then I realized it was coming straight at us. The next thing I knew it was hovering right in front of us, and my friend, being frightened, jumped in the car and went to back up but hit drive and nearly ran over me. I jumped into the car on the run, then he hit the brakes and I was looking up through the windshield directly at the bottom of that thing. He began to back up and I saw headlights behind us. We watched as the bright light went up into the sky and south across the old area over the hill. Come to find out, the people who we had seen coming up behind us was my dad and younger sister. They had also seen the bright object fly up over the hill and disappear. The object was bright white, very bright to look at, with a fluid-like silver-blue halo moving over it. It should have lit up the entire town, but it didn't. It did not make any sounds at all. It had a black area that was narrow at the top and wide at the bottom and appeared to be a window through which someone inside must have been watching us through. Another friend of mine who lived on that old area south of town admitted that it had landed in front of him one night and he nearly hit it. He said his car died and lights went out and he had to slam on his brakes to keep from hitting the thing. He said it sat there for a few moments and he was afraid to unlock his doors. Then he said it took off and his lights came back on and engine started. You read about people and hear stories and watch movies where someone was asleep and saw an alien being in their bedrooms and wonder if they didn't just dream it all up. But these sightings were not those of dreamers, they were by people who were wide awake and out driving around. These were not distant sightings either, where someone may have mistaken some small light to be something it wasn't. These were close-up sightings where there was no mistaking what was being observed. I could tell several more true stories about this one and several more, but for now please understand there is such a thing as UFOs and there are beings inside of them. Please also understand that not all UFOs are what they appear to be. Not all aliens are what they appear to be. What's wrong with our world? Our world has transformed away from methods we know work into a place where anyone can be held accountable for anything at all. Some are asking, what went wrong? I can tell them. Today a kid can get hurt and a teacher can hug that child and send them on their way only to find themselves in a lawsuit later for sexual harassment. The kid can end up in years of therapy for being sexually harassed when they didn't even know anything was wrong until some highly educated public servant told them. People could learn a few things from Caesar Dog Whisperer about feeding into a psychosis. Parents and adults do the same thing with their children. If you make out like something is wrong when it isn't, then you create the very problem you imagine in your mind. The teachers are threatened with arrest, lawsuit and jail for how they treat or even touch a child. It seems natural the teachers in some cases actually fear their students over ridicules, lawsuits and accusations that may cost them their jobs. Back when I was in school, a teacher could wail the tire out of a kid with a paddle with holes drilled in it, get their attention and go on with school business. Do that today and the teacher goes to jail. When you have a system that works, why change it? If that kid got a fast whack on the butt and put in the corner for an hour, the kid will learn that such behavior is not acceptable and find a better way to invest their time while at school. We live in a world full of city-born crybaby people who have lawyers and lawmakers with nothing better to do than constantly change things that work into things that don't work. Our lawmakers think they must look busy by making and changing laws all the time in order to appear worth their pay. Truth is, they need to undo some of the damage they've done and set on their hands for a few years to see what happens. They use terms like human rights. What did they teach the kids? They taught them that if a teacher touches them, they can be sued. If they throw a big enough fit, they get out of school, and believe me, a kid for the most part sees that as a good thing. In the name of all that is good and right, they will transform our world into something that can no longer be contained or controlled. The children grow up with ideas established by our great minds and have no idea what the real world will do to them when faced with serious situations. Before you realize what's happening, we will have teenagers working for the government, throwing honest, hard-working people in jail for absolutely nothing at all. They looked at me wrong. People won't know who to be afraid of, because anyone one of those kids may be a government agent. Turn the world over to children who have no knowledge or experience but all the ego and pride in the world, and what will we have? Chaos. Little by little, and in some places by leaps and bounds, we are already headed toward that world. A friend on BIGORB.com said. http://watch?v=vr3x_rrjdd4 is physical contact a basic human need? I think the intention behind the contact is also very important, and the general vibration of that person. Your body is a biological machine and it operates more efficiently if it is supplied certain external factors. So in that sense, Physical contact is basic human need. For example, you can work harder, more creative and more efficient if you have physical contact in between. The same is true for animals. My dog would give her left ear for a good belly rub. Heck, plants even benefit from it. Would I say it is a basic human need like clothing, shelter, etc.? No, you won't die. But is it a major catalyst for growth? Definitely. I think we do function better emotionally and physically if we have positive physical contact in our lives. I keep thinking of this story I heard once about an old man who would go to the barber shop once a week, not because he needed a haircut, but because he craved the physical contact. I am curious. Does physical contact with animals provide the same effects for you? I know that petting a dog or cat is very soothing for me, and I am curious if it fills the same need for you in physical contact with humans. Yes, it's soothing to animal and their owner, petter, attention giver. Think about therapy for seniors where animals and children are involved. It's the contact, the interaction, etc. It is healing. Reiki is healing touch, and a very long-term traditional belief that our power behind our touch can help heal a person. If you reach out and touch a person, same gender or not, this does not mean it's a sexual-based touch. It can be just what it is, a touch for soothing intention. Look at the healing efforts of massage. I'm in a long-distance friendship with the person I met here on Big Herb. I haven't made any friends yet in life like I have with her. I'm happy with this situation and with talking to nobody but people online, but I really miss the touching. In chat I make a lot of references to snuggles with aims, etc. Am I gay, lesbian, weird? No, I am pretty firm in my beliefs about myself. I am just expressing a love language, love being love unconditional, with someone I care for. I miss the interpersonal friendship you have with the live person, so I express it how I may for self-soothing efforts. According to the book, 5 Love Languages, http://www.5elovelanguages.com/, I highly recommend the 5 Love Languages to all you fellow forum members. The needs or love languages are as follows, no particular order: words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch. Think about your compassion, your physical touch, your gift of time and service, and think about what you have to give another person unconditionally. Do not judge those that show more affection physically than you personally may be comforted by or comfortable with. Instead, cherish with that person their freedom to express friendship and kinship in a different aspect than you do. That was very well said and also very factual. People must understand we are biological machines that require certain kinds of input. I just posted a message on another forum where a first grader was arrested for hitting her teacher. People are wondering what in the world has gone wrong? A few of us have the answer to that question, but not many care to hear or accept the answer. Years ago, little Billy fell down and his teacher, who happened to be a woman, picked him up, brushed him off, gave him a hug and sent him on his way. Today that same teacher would be up for sexual harassment and little Billy would spend years in therapy for being sexually harassed by his teacher. She would lose her job and be labeled a sexual predator, and Billy would spend the rest of his life in counseling and on medication for the traumatic and terrible thing his teacher did to him. Of course, we know that Billy didn't know anything bad was done to him until someone informed him that being hugged by his teacher was a bad thing. Of course, it wasn't a bad thing, but our society has transformed over the past few years and has adopted a new format and new standards that are much better than the old ones that were tried and proven to work. Everything in existence has a vibrational frequency. Some things have spiritual vibrational frequencies. Some frequencies are good for us and some are bad for us. Some promote healing energy while others promote illness of various kinds. Being in the room with someone who gives off positive spiritual vibrations has a healing and soothing effect. A hug from that person can have a powerful positive effect. Likewise, being in the room with someone who has a strong negative spiritual vibration can cause all kinds of negative effects on others, sometimes without them even being aware of it. These people come in all varieties, and while some are offensive, others like to inflict themselves on people. You've heard the saying, you are what you eat? Well, people are what they consume in music, entertainment and information. An informed person can watch people for a little while and can tell what kind of vibrational frequencies a person or group of people run on. I know you hear it all the time. That's music. No, that's not music. That's noise and it's not healthy or good for you. They say? You're just an old foggy. This is the new music of today. They want to believe it. They accept it and there's no way to convince them of the truth. The sounds and words of hate produce the vibrational frequencies of hate. These being planted in their garden heart and soul will one day produce the fruit of the same seed they take within them. They wear their baggy trousers below their butts with big pockets and think they are doing something original when all they are doing is revealing to those who can see that they are puppets of a new puppet master. They're not originals at all and the puppet master is as old as time, he's not new. They can't seem to realize the world is full of people just like they are making a statement of their own unstable mental condition. They feed upon energy from others like themselves and they become like those they associate with thinking all the while it's a good thing. The flower children of the 50s, 60s were much better off than the children of today but many of them were rebels and danced to the music of the same piper many dance to today. Some of them preached hate while some of them preached peace. The spirit is the same, the time and the children have changed but the messages within their hearts and words reflect the spirit upon which they feed. They reveal to us the signs of our times and if we listen closely we can see into the future to know what tomorrow will bring. The ancient minds have mystified the greatest minds of the world and left an artifact that predicts cycles of good and bad times. They have looked back in time and see the greatest events including WW1 and WW2 were predicted by a people over 1,000 years ago. That calendar predicts something so very bad will happen in December of 2012. The calendar ends on that day. Early this morning I had a vivid dream and I looked to the eastern night sky and saw many planets lining up very clearly just above the horizon. I did not see the moon and I said, because the moon is not seen we can see these events taking place in our sky. And around those planets I saw many bright stars and I said, something big is on the horizon. That means something big is soon to come. Will we be ready? To get ready we must return to and understand basic principles and one of those most basic principles is found on this page. People are biological machines that require input. Human touch can be a very positive healing thing. Get the garbage out of our minds and hearts and look for simple truths. Find the things in our lives that are important and you will discover friends and family at the top of that list.